Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. And it is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And it is always an honor and a privilege to come before you as we explore the Word of God together. It is not by accident that God has allowed and still allowing us to meet here every Wednesday as we explore the Word of God. And He sees your commitment for tuning in each week, and He finds favor with it. It is always a privilege and an honor that God allowed me to go before His people. And I don't take it lightly. I pray that the lesson we do on tonight will give you more insight, hopefully more direction, commitment towards the thing of God. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Matthew's. I ask that each and every one of you would read the entire fifth chapter of Matthew's, and the scriptures is going to be that we're going to expound on tonight is coming from the 38th through the 48th chapter. As always, we always start the program off with a song. And if anyone would like to sing at this time, you could press the one button, or I'll play a song. After the song is played, we'll come back and we'll explore the Word of God together. We were supposed to have a guest solo tonight. A guest soloist tonight, Elyria Mackey. I don't know if she's on the line. I'm going to press, if she is, she can press the one button. I'll let her sing the song, and we'll go into the lesson. If the one button is not pressed, I'll go ahead and play a song, come back, and then we'll have prayer to enter the throne of grace. So at this time, if Elyria Mack is on the line, you could press the one button, and I'll open the mic. So I'm going to play a song. And the title of the song is You Don't Know My Story. Once it is over, we'll come back and get into the lesson. Be blessed.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
Cannot imagine.
If you did, you would.
my love is about God, because even though I'm not perfect,
my story, and
my deliverance, what I want to share is my testimony. Somebody needs to know my story.
It would blow your mind.
Can I get a witness?
You don't know
my story.
My story.
And it's through my testimony.
You don't know my story. You know, that record is so true, because all of us have something that's going on in our lives and things that we have done and things we wish we hadn't done and all of the above. So when we look at one another, we can't assume, because we truly don't know their story. So we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button now. If not, we're going to go to the throne of grace, giving God the glory for what he's going to allow to happen on tonight. If you would like to pray, please press the one button at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, to give up every perfect gift. Heavenly Father, right now we just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, you're doing, and you promised to do in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your Son and your Spirit. I thank you for your word, dear God, which gives us encouragement, which guides our way, dear God, if we allow it to be a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. We're guaranteed to have success with you. Lord, we need you, and we can't make it without you. And, Lord, we just need to say thank you because you're such a good God, a merciful God, a loving God, a kind God. Lord, I thank you for all of the people that call in week after week and those who have a desire to call, dear God, but don't. Lord, I thank you for the people that just tune in on the internet, dear God, and they receive the word. Lord, I thank you for allowing this forum and this fellowship to be able to go forth where we could come together and explore your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that your word don't return void, that the people open up their ears and hear what the Spirit has to say. That the people take the word and allow it to be a compass in their lives, dear God. Because without you, we're nothing. And because of you, all things are possible. Lord, we thank you for everything, dear God. And if we had 10,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. Because we can't beat your giving, dear God. And for all of this, we say thank you. Lord, I pray tonight that the people will be edified, Satan will be horrified, and you will be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And thank God, and amen. Well, again, the title of our lesson tonight is, When They Go Low, We Go High. Coming from Matthew's, the 5th chapter, the 38 through the 48 verse. You know, I pray that everyone read the entire 5th chapter because you'll have a better understanding of what Jesus is trying to tell us. You see, I'm going to go ahead and do a background and give some little information, and then we'll get into the lesson. I start off by saying during the 2016 Democratic National Convention, Michelle Obama, the First Lady of the United States, delivered a powerful speech. In her speech, she talked about lessons that she and the president seek to instill in their daughters. She declared, "We urge them to ignore those who question their father's citizenship and his fate. How we insist that this hurtful language they hear from the public figures on TV does not represent their father or the true spirit of this country. How we explain that when someone is cruel or act like a bully, we don't stoop to their level." You see, she said, our motto is, when they go low, we go high. This was a topic that my pastor expounded on the other day, and I thought it was fitting for us tonight. You see, from her motto, we can apply these words to our lesson for today that deals with how to be strong in the Lord and maintain a humble spirit. You see, when the Bible speaks of the law, it refers to explained requirements from God. You see, God gave detailed standards to Moses, beginning with the Ten Commandments, God's law, explain his requirements for the holy people. And in the laws, you must know and understand that there was three categories of laws. One category was the civil laws. Now, these laws dictated Israel daily living. Remember, God made the laws and gave them to the children of Israel. And before he gave the laws, there was no law. But when he decided to make them his nation, and they was about to enter the promised land, he gave them laws, a daily living. You see, but modern society and culture are so radically different from some of these guidelines that they cannot be followed specifically. The principle behind the commands are used to guide our conduct. Then they had another set of laws, was ceremonial laws. This type of law relates to Israel worship. The laws pointed towards Jesus Christ and were no longer necessary after Christ's death and resurrection. Though we are no longer bound to them, the principle. See, when you're thinking about God and the intent that he's writing things and the things that he's saying as Jesus was teaching this, we have to understand the principle behind the laws. You know, the ceremonial laws were put in place to worship and love God. And they still should apply to us today, the principle. We still should want to worship, love, and honor God. And then we had the moral laws. The moral laws are direct commands of God. A good example is the Ten Commandments. The moral laws reveal the nature of God and his will. The moral laws reveal the nature of God and his will and still applies to us today. We do not obey these moral laws in a way to obtain salvation. Don't get it twisted. The law was never placed in place to ensure the person that did them a way to receive salvation. The laws was put into effect to point out that we were sinners and was in need of a Savior. They did not and never could guarantee salvation. That's why God sent his Son. You see, the law was given to separate God's people from the evil nations around them and to define sin. The laws also clearly demonstrated that no human being, watch this, the law also clearly demonstrated that no human being could purify himself enough to please God. You know, the law didn't take away the sins. The law covered the sins. So with the law doing that, it could never fully guarantee what God wanted for his people. And the laws was given in the Old Testament. Jesus came in the New Testament. So that God intended purpose to be able to love and have fellowship and personal relationships with his people could be accomplished. The Lord's purpose was to reveal our need for a Savior. You see, the New Testament, the religious leader had hijacked the laws and added to it its own personal rules and regulation. While the law itself was good, it was weak that it lacked the power to change a sinful heart. Keeping the law as interpreted by the Pharisees had become an obsessive and overwhelming burden. You know, God never intended for his people to be burdened down. He said, take this yoke upon you. You know, saying your way will be easy. You see, the law was not evil, just the way they handled it, because they was worrying about the law and never thinking on how to love. You see, it served as a mirror to reveal the condition of a person's heart. You know, there's a scripture in John, the first chapter in the 17th verse, that says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. Jesus embodied the perfect balance between grace and the law. You see, God has always been full of grace, and the people have always been saved by faith in God. Because, you know, I asked the question one time, if Jesus hadn't come in the Old Testament, and we are taught that we are saved by faith through grace, saved by grace through faith, then how was the people in the Old Testament able to receive salvation? But I come to tell you tonight, the Bible teaches that even the people in the Old Testament were saved by faith in God. And Abraham is the greatest example of that, because Abraham loved God and followed God and did what God asked him to do. God accounted it as righteousness, which granted him grace because of his faith. God did not change between the Old and the New Testament. The same God who gave the law also gave us Jesus Christ. His grace was demonstrated through the law by providing the sacrificial system to cover sin. Jesus was born under the law and became the final sacrifice to bring the law to fulfillment and establish a new covenant. Now, everyone who comes through God, through Jesus, is declared righteous. You know, there's a lot of conflict between grace and the law. There's some things that are misunderstood, and that's why it's hard to comprehend. You see, it is misunderstood because people don't truly understand the purpose of the law. You see, the second conflict is that they believe that it refines grace as something other than God's benevolence on the undeserving, because they don't understand what true grace is. Third, they try to earn their own salvation or supplement Jesus' sacrifice. You know, the Bible tells us that you know, we are saved by faith through Jesus Christ, which guarantees us grace, and that's all. You know, in the old days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would always add something to it, that if you wasn't circumcised, then you couldn't be saved. You have to know that it's by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. You know, some people want to tell you if you don't pay your tithes, you're not saved, if you don't do this. You see, that's the burdens of the law. And I shouldn't have used tithe there, because some people say you don't pay tithes and some you don't. But I'm just talking about the burden of the law in itself. And then some people just can't conceive the full counsel of God. You know, we want to sometimes take one scripture and say what it means, and, you know, and then, you know, we want to hold on to that. But you hit the Bible saying in Timothy that you got to study to show yourself approved. Because, you see, and if you're not studying and you only listening to what people say, you know, it is proven that people are going to always tell a story which sounds best to them or that fit their need or for their convenience. So even in their teaching, if they're not being taught correctly and then they repeat incorrectly and then you receive it incorrectly, then you're going to be holding on to that, and it may not be the interpretation of the will of God or what he was trying to say. So when we look at, I gave that background on law, the law, so that we could come to the lesson and truly understand, because some people read it at face value and believe, you know, that it could be harsh to why God said it, but we got to look at the intended purpose. You see, these scriptures are a part of Jesus' teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a part of what plenty of people call the Beatitudes, the fifth chapter of Matthew's all the way through the seventh chapter. You got to remember that Jesus was teaching, and he realized once he started his ministry, he also realized that his time was going to be short, and he was trying to clean up as many errors or ways of thinking that he could. And when he did this scripture tonight, it was all about love and retaliation. And he used the scriptures and the law. And then he turned around and gave its intended purpose. You know, so if we look at the scriptures, we're going to read 38 through 41. And the scripture reads as follows. We have heard that it is said. What he's saying is, we have heard, we know that this is in the law. All right? We have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was in the law. He said, you heard that. But look what he turned around in the 39th verse and said, but I say unto you that ye resist. Now, when it said resist, it said resist. It means to fight against something, to try to stop or prevent something, to remain strong against the force or effect of something, to not be affected or harmed by it, to resist temptation or to take action in opposition to, try to eliminate, reduce, or stop. So I went to that word resist. So, because when you read the scripture, you could think something else, because the scripture itself reads, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. So I was just letting you know what it meant. And you see, plenty of times when we see a word, and a word is a Greek word, and the word can have several meanings. So as you would study, you would try to, you could get the right usage of that word in what was said. He said, not evil. And the scriptures goes on to say, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, that was in the law. So we're just going to keep going, and we're going to see, you know, why it was written, and it was in the Old Testament, and so on and so on, and it'll help clarify it for you. And then 40 say, if a man will sue thee at the law and take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twine. Now you read that and you just stuck at that and you do not study, so that's what you got. But Jesus is not talking about us to be passive, but surrender that which is personal revenge. He's saying, I'm not asking you to just let people take advantage of you or do things like that when the topic of the lesson, when they go low, we go high, that they could cause hurt, harm, or danger to you. He said, I'm not saying all of that. He said, but you should surrender the right to personal revenge. That's the lesson he's talking. He's talking about revenge. He's telling us and going to explain to us how to deal with it. You see, today we see to make violence. Today we see too much violence among our youth because of revenge, which is causing mass destruction. Someone does something to them, no matter how small of a matter, they do something back. And in the case of debt, now someone who loves them wants to get even. And it goes on and on and on. And we know some of our altercations may be because somebody looked at you funny or somebody stepped on your feet, you know, they looked at your girlfriend. So what I'm saying is no matter how small, you know, the altercation was about, we want to take revenge. But there's a scripture in the Bible that helps us to understand, and it's in Romans 12:19, and it says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord." We have to keep that in mind when things come our way or people do us something. And, you know, that was the laws that had to be fit into the time and the culture. We have laws here in the United States as well. You know, I'm going to give an example. The other day I hit the back of someone's car. I didn't ram into it. I only eased into it because the traffic was detoured and we were sitting in a line for so long. When the car tapped the other person's car, there was no damage on their car, nor was it on my car, and it wasn't even a scratch. You know, a month later, I get a call from my insurance company because the people are doing a suit. They suing me. I didn't get angry or anything because, you know, in the world we live in, we know that people is going to be people. And there is a law, and the insurance companies do allow people to sue, and half of the time they know they're not hurt. But just because it's a law that you can sue doesn't mean that you have to sue. You know, I've had many accidents and I wasn't hurt. And I thought about it, and this was way before I knew God like I know him now. But I said, if God allowed me to be able to walk away from this accident, he protected me. You know, I thought to try to sue somebody, which would be a lie, would not bring glory unto God. And I didn't do it. I could have, but I didn't. So just because something is a law doesn't mean you have to do it. You should use the word of God and decide which way you're going to resolve things that happen in your life. You see, you have to maybe stop and think. When they go low, you go high, and you keep it moving. And it's amazing that when you allow yourself to do it that way, and when it's all said and done and you look back on it, you're going to have a wonderful feeling because you're going to feel that you have grown. You're going to feel that you have grace. You are extended grace. You're going to feel that you're the bigger person. You're going to feel that you didn't allow somebody to make you stoop to their level because two wrongs don't make a right. You see, when Jesus was teaching this lesson in the verses we read, you see, these are three radical examples. He make a point about the attitude we should have towards who have wronged us. Rather than getting even, we should be willing to go to the opposite extreme. Come on, y'all. Take the high road. You know how we say, you know, I'm bigger than that, and you know, and let me just tell you this. A lot of times you have altercation and people do you wrong on your job and you know, maybe in school, if anybody's in school, or all of your neighbors or whatever. First of all, always remember this. You are Christian, or you say you are Christian. The people that sometime comes against you have not declared that they are Christian. They don't act like a Christian. They, you know, and plenty of them are evil. But if those people are not saved and they're not Christians and they have evil ways, then you who are a Christian that is not evil, you are working with more than they are. You shouldn't expect them to act like you. Understand that. You know, we have to be ready to humble ourselves for the kingdom of God. You know, first he said, the person who turned the other cheek when someone strike him. You know the why he said that? It was a law that if someone slapped you in your face, if you did something that the law required that you be slapped. When he said, if they slap you, let them slap the other cheek. What he was saying, in those days, the slap on the face was embarrassment. It was really a punishment for someone to do that to you. But if you gave them a cause, they do it. When Jesus said, let them slap the other cheek, you know, that was a greater insult. So maybe if you let them slap one cheek and then allow them to slap the other cheek, they may feel, you know, compensated. Because you got double punishment. And by that time, maybe they'll be able to walk away and a solution would have been resolved and it wouldn't have had to go to court. Second, he declared that his followers should give those who sued them more than their acts. Third, he said that the person who was ordered by a Roman soldier to carry his stuff for a mile, he said carry it too. The reason he said that is because we are the children of God and we should display more grace. Back in that day, why this was a law, because the Romans, who the Israelites was under subjection to, the Roman soldiers could declare that you carried their equipment for a mile. And there was nothing you could do about it. So when the Israelites would start to follow the command, you know, they used to count each step, because it took 1,000 steps to make a mile, and they would count each step, and then when they was through, they might throw the stuff down and, you know, feel like they had done what was necessary of them. But Jesus said, no, let's look at it. He said, if they ask, you know, the law says to carry the mile. He said, because who you are and who is working inside of you, God, which is love, and Jesus, which is full of grace. He said, don't do it like that. You could do it in a more excellent way. You know, the Bible teaches us that people who have command over us, we should obey them. A slave should obey their master, you know. And plenty of times when slavery was formulated, those who read the Bible and knew the law, and I ain't talking about in the Old Testament, they used it in the New Testament to get the black people to be their slaves, and to them, even if they were a Christian, they believed they justified. That's a perfect example of the law and its intended purpose. when Jesus said carry the equipment for 2 miles, it's showing, okay, I'm doing it respectful and I'm a bigger person and I'm going to do it like that. You know, he said sometime the slaves would be so mad, not the slaves, but the people in the Old Testament would be mad and they carry the people's stuff and on purpose they drop it in the mud. So he was telling them a more excellent way to do it than just what the law said. And it wasn't about the law. It was about the attitude of the heart. You know, Jesus wasn't telling us that we should never resist when someone attacks us. Don't get it twisted. Understand what he's saying. We should not let anyone take advantage of us. You see, under the law, they had the right to do these things. But now Jesus is saying, where's the love? You know, God is full of love. And all of our actions and thoughts should be centered in love. And remember, there's a scripture in Timothy 1 and 9. And it says, we know that the law is good. If a man use it lawfully, this is the word of God, just not dying now. Timothy, 1 Timothy 1 and 9. We know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is made for the righteous, the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, and for manslayers. This is such an important thing, and it's so true. You see, if you're a righteous person, let me give a little example. Right now, we have a law that you shouldn't drive over 70 miles an hour. You see, that law was not needed or had to be placed there for the righteous and for the person that's wise. Because anybody know the faster you go and you get in an accident, the more injury you could receive. But it wasn't put in place for those who are going to do right just because. But they have to make laws for those who don't want to do right. And it was the same case in the Old Testament. Because, you know, and then some of the laws was just laws because things happen. God didn't never tell you not to sue anybody. You sue someone because of injury and liability. That's fine. But when you sue a person saying you have injuries and liabilities, then it makes it wrong. So as the scripture says, the law was not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. So when we look at that, we could understand the law and why they had to have a law in the Old Testament. But then came Jesus, and that's why he's teaching the intent of the law. You know, if we just do what is right because it's just the right thing to do, there will be no need for the 10 o'clock news, because they're not always trying to produce news about people doing right. They're always looking for something that is wrong and evil and to flaunt people and to do these kind of things. You see, people seem to feel that the pain in any situation that they receive, you know, they feel like the pain that is felt by them is always more than the pain received. You know what I'm saying about that? You know, sometimes people hear someone talking about them, they cannot take it. And you have to ask them, how many times have you talking about somebody else? But you see, the pain they felt is more than the pain they receive, and it's always less. Okay, let me say that again. The pain that they feel is always more than the pain received. They always throw it up, and they make it bigger than what it really is because it happened to them. Not evaluating how much pain they have placed on others. This is why retaliation always escalates into conflict. It is called the reality of escalating violence. The world teaches us to be meek is to be beat. But the Bible lets us know that meekness is strength under control. And if we look at the other verse, 42, and I'm going to do this one by itself, so I hope I could give you a good illustration. 42 say, give to him that asks thee, and from him that borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, with this saying, you know, some people say, well, God say you got to, make a loan and give everybody everything they ask for. God is not, the scripture wasn't saying that. Let me tell you why this particular law was written. This illustration has to do with the law of lending. Debts were canceled after 7 years. You guys may know the year of Jubilee. That the people who borrow it love this because everything will be restored back to its rightful owner after 7 years in the Bible. So that's why this law is here. You see, the lender were not quite so enthused about this law. If I was a lender and someone came to me for a loan in a 6 year, I would think twice because of giving it to him. You see, after the 7 year, you know, the debt was canceled. So it was speaking about that because they had the 7 year and a year Jubilee in place and all of this. You see, if he didn't pay it off quickly, the loan would turn into a gift. So you see, the closer it got to the 7 year, the more tightened the businessmen became. You know, they didn't want to loan nobody nothing in the 6 year. And, you know, they could have loaned it to you in the 6 year until you had to pay it back in 12 months. But if the person couldn't, it would still be turned into a gift. Jesus said they would not be allowed the 7 year. They shouldn't use the 7 year law to govern them. Whenever a person had a need, God's people were to give generously. After all, the people in Jesus' day were not asking for big old home improvement loans and things like that. They needed money for food. In our day and age, does this mean that Christian bankers should never refuse a loan application, no matter how bad the person's credit look? Or does this mean you have to pay a loan, you have to loan money to irresponsible people again and again, even if you know they won't make an effort to pay it back? Or that every time you are approached by someone on the street that you have to give them money? God is not saying that, because this commandment does not relieve your obligation to manage your resources responsibly. It's your responsibility to practice generosity, but it's also your responsibility to practice discernment. Jesus is talking about people with a legitimate need. 43, 44 through 47 and 48, it says, we have heard that it has been said. Jesus is talking about the law. We have heard, and it is the law that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. It was all right in the law. That was one of the laws. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. See, Jesus said what the law was, but then he's telling you what to do right then and there. That ye may be children of God, which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to shine on the evil and on the good. Y'all know that, right? God is no respecter person. And send it rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the republicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the republicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect. You see, God is not like that. You know, that was the law. But God is not like that. God just loves people, period. God loves people who love him and those who don't. He loves people who worship him and those who spit in his face. And to know this is true, remember when he was on the cross and was asked, and Jesus asked his Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, we as people sometimes really only love those who love us, like those who like us. We like them. Sometimes people are only concerned with their family. I know a lot of people is living like in a cocoon with just their family. They never reach out. They never extend themselves. You know, when they done took care of theirs, they figured it's all done. You see, when you only love in that matter, you are not doing anything that is righteous or special. And you say you're a Christian. You see, the sinner's love and the evil person even love who they love and do for who they want to do. So if you act like that and that's the only way you rock, you're not doing nothing that is righteous and you're not doing anything that represent God. You know, you might all know someone who will not do anything for anybody but me, myself, and I. Jesus knew this would be the case. Remember, God is all-knowing. In fact, Jesus seemed to know that our inability to love like he does love lives in our heart, which is the most human problem, and especially the problem of violence. Because those guys on the street don't honor no one else's life. It means nothing to them. You know, and they could be out there retaliating because they shot his brother. So his brother's life worth so much. And because of that, and he loved his brother so much that he has to retaliate by killing the offender. Now, watch that. You see, the one went to retaliate. He loved his brother, but he didn't care anything about the other person. And that's how some Christians love. When Jesus was asked by his disciple which was the greatest commandment of the ten, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. You see, he didn't abolish the other eight, but he condensed the ten into two. Many people are confused about the law, and do we have to still honor them today? There are many laws that we couldn't, even if we wanted to. You see, Matthew's, if you read the whole chapter, in Matthew's, the book we in the fifth chapter we in, but if you read the whole chapter, the 17 and the 18 says, think not that I come, this is Jesus talking, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. And 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. And you see, people will say that. They get stuck at that. They say, God say, take nothing out the Bible and don't put nothing in it. And if they say this was the laws, then they still good. But you have to understand, when you read that, it say, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall be in no wise pass from the law. But this is the other part of the scripture people don't always say. And it says, till all be fulfilled. Here, fulfilled means to bring to its intended meaning and purpose. Fulfilled does not mean to bring to an end. Rather, it means to fill out, explain, expand, or complete. I didn't come to abolish the law. You see, the old he said he didn't come to abolish the law, which the law represents the Old Testament. So he said, in a sense, he's saying, I did not come to abolish the Old Testament. Instead, I came to fulfill it. Our teaching from Jesus tonight is to explain that everything in the Old Testament points to his arrival. And once he came, he fulfilled, and now he is teaching us how to love in spite of and not because of, which was its intended purpose. You know, just use wisdom and common sense when you think about this. The Ten Commandments. We should always love God. You know, the first four commandments is directed to God, and the next six commandments is directed towards Jesus. That's why Jesus was able to put it into two. Honor your mother and father. You should never even question that. You shouldn't even know if that's necessary. That was a moral law. You know, I sat down the other day, and there's 613 laws, and I read each and every one of them, and a lot of the laws was just repeat. You know, they were like, you have to read them for yourself to really see what it is. And then you can decide, you know, if we have to follow them or not. When the law was put in place, it was the schoolmaster to point towards Jesus. But once Jesus came and he died and resurrected, the law was fulfilled. Give you another example. When they would do sin, they would wait for the atonement to go to the priest once a year, and they would sacrifice animals, bulls, and goats, which could never take away the sins of the world. Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice. So there was no need to sacrifice any longer. And the thing that gets me, and if anybody know it, they can let me know. It was strange to me that the Jews of today that haven't accepted Jesus Christ and still practice Judaism, if they're so bent on the law as their way to salvation, why did they stop making sacrifices? I mean, I can look up the reason, but let's just think about it. They didn't accept Christ. So what do they still have to cover their sins? It's just a little food for thought. But just remember God's intent and his purpose. And God is totally love. And as I close tonight, I say here, love is not simple praise. It is a command. Love is the center of all things. Come on, y'all. This requires supernatural strength. It has been said to return evil for good is devilish. To return good for good is human. But to return good for evil is divine. And I want you to know that the Bible teaches us that we owe no man but to love him. And when situations arise and they go low on you, you go high. Because that's what God wants his children to do. And that's my lesson for tonight. If anybody have a comment or would like to elaborate, I have a caller. Your one button is press. Your number is 504-279-5454. Caller?
Yes. Caller? Hello?
Can you hear me? You can talk.
Can you hear me?
Your mic is open. You're on the, yeah, everybody can hear you.
Okay. What I'm calling about, what I'm getting out of this here lesson, is that we are of earth, but we are living according to the rules and the laws of the earth, and so many of us don't even know about the laws of the Bible. So with us not knowing, it's causing the confusion. That way, the sin is going to stay heavy. Am I correct?
Correct.
And the only way we can get past that is to be encouraged to put the Bible first, the word of the Lord first, then our earthly laws.
Correct. And even though the Bible said, render unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar, and they told us to obey the law of the land. But the only way you shouldn't obey the laws of the land is when they put a law that exalts itself against the word of God. In other words, you don't let a man law. You know, these laws that we have is about the community and citizenship and taxes and all of that. But don't let a law come that makes you try to denounce God or something like that. The Bible also teaches us that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. Even though we live in this world and we follow the rules and regulation of the government of this world, you got to pay your taxes, you got to do your income tax, you got to get driver's license. All these laws are in the world, and God say to obey them. But we live in the world. But the lesson was telling us that tonight, that because we accepted Jesus and Jesus came to live inside of us and the Holy Ghost is directing us and he has given us his holy word, we should allow that to be our compass even though we're in the word, in this world. We have to allow God's will and his way to be our governing factor. And if we're in this world, but not of this world, because who lives inside of us, we should be different from the world. So everybody that says they're a Christian and live in the world, there should be evidence that who they are following and who is the Lord of their life and who is their Lord and Master. And if there's no evidence, then you look just like the world. You act like the world. Where would the division be? And that's why the Bible teaches us to study to show ourselves approved. Workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Because if you're not reading the word, you're not living by the word, then you done mingled in and look just like the world.
Right.
You're not word, you world.
Right.
And even after we accept Christ as our Savior, we are babes. so we don't know everything. But the Bible teaches us in Peter. Peter said, please grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that you may become mature. Everybody, when they came in, they were babes and they drank milk. But it's our responsibility to begin to eat the meat, and how much meat you eat and how fast and how far you go depends on you.
Thank you.
You know, things you used to do last year you don't do no more. You just keep growing in grace.
Right.
And even though they had the laws, Jesus came to show them a more excellent way. He said, yeah, they said an eye for an eye and a tooth for two. And the only reason they put an eye for an eye and a tooth for two, because they wanted, if they knock your eye out, then only take your eye out. Because you see, a revengeful person, he wasn't going to want to take one eye. He was going to take two eyes and a foot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the law was trying to get to, even though it seemed harsh. But it was saying injury for injury, not injury and take as many injuries as you want. You know, if they cut your foot, you cut their foot. But don't cut two of their feet and three of their hands. And
right.
That's what the law was there to try to govern them. But Jesus said, if, you know, don't take an eye for an eye, for two. If it could be settled, settle it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it ain't always got to be that. You know, sometimes you see these children killed on the street and the parents and of the person who maybe was killed, the parent come and they say, I forgive them.
Yes.
That's what Jesus is saying. And it takes a big person and supernatural strength.
Right.
So I thank you, dear calling. I hope that gave you some information. And as always, you could call me after and we could go over some more things. But I thank you for pressing the button, and I thank you for sharing with us the thoughts. And I just thank you, and I love you. So you be blessed.
Thank you.
Caller, your number is 621-6298. Your mic is open. Caller, did you want to make any comments or anything? Maybe the button was pressed by error. So right now it's 9:38. This is the first time in a long time we went over the time. But I want each and every one of you to be blessed. I'm going to go ahead and do a benediction. And if there's no one want to say anything else, well, I got a call. A caller, your number is 504-534. Your mic is open.
That's Lyria.
Hey, Lyria.
Hi there.
You want to make some comments?
No, the song's going to make the comments for me, because we just got to press.
Okay.
That's all to me.
So Sister Lyria's on the phone, and that's what I told y'all earlier, that we had a guest soloist. She's on the phone now. We're going to let her sing her song, and we're going to let the lesson end with that tonight. So you could go ahead, Miss Valeria.
Okay. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm upward bound, Lord, to let my feet on high, higher dancing on the earth upward way. New heights I'm gaining each and every day. Still praying I'm upward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher. I need to go on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith in heaven and tableland. No, there's no higher plan. It's in Christ I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven and tableland. Still praying I'm upward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Oh, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith is in Jesus. I'm bound for the promised land. No higher plan than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you so much, Sister Elyria.
No, ma'am.
And like you say, the words of the song says it all. And with that being said, we're going to close out for tonight. Remember,
yes, oh God.
God is all love, and that's what he expects us to be, or to become.
Yes.
So that's our lesson tonight, and I just want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. I'll be back on next week if it's God's will. And we'll come again with the word of God. Be prayerful. Pray for Wednesday night Bible study. Pray for me. Pray for the sick and the shut and all over. Pray for people's finances. Pray for people's mental health. Pray for people. Needs in general, because that's what God wants and expects of each and every one of us. So I say again, good night. God be with you until we meet again.